Welcome to the Dubai Breeder Podcast. My name is Jeremy, and in this episode, we are speaking to Corey McMahon, first round of the AORC. Cool little post chat with him, kind of seeing him feel the bike out. It's been a bit of a wild off season for him, coming back with injury. So it's cool to see him get back on the bike and lay it down. It's only going to be a massive season for him ahead of him. So to get him, get the nerves shaken out, and then hopefully get his head down back into it, this was a good round and a good chat for that. So massive thanks to Corey. Make sure you go follow him. He has a lot on, as you'll hear, AORC, Vic Off-Road Championships, Hatter, Fink, GNCC. This boy is busy. So go check out Corey McMahon. Always check out our supporters as well. B&B Off-Road, On Point Motor Suspension, Achobes Australia, Whole Shot Graphics, and Adventure On Store. And we'll be at Tumut this weekend, I think. So that'd be exciting. Make sure you come check us out there. Make sure you check out what's going on here as well, the Hard Enduro Championships. Go check that out. It's going to be a crazy, crazy year. So thanks to everyone, and get after it. Cheers. Welcome to the Dirt Bike Breeder Podcast. My name is Jeremy, and this is season 5 of this crazy podcast that we started so long ago. Myself and Alex are the hosts, and we appreciate your time. And everyone that gets on this podcast, we share stories from desert racing, flat track, hard enduro, regular enduro, all forms of motorcycles. We try and bring everyone together and have a yarn. Really just share the stories, get everyone pumped for a weekend, or recap on what just happened over the weekend. There's so much racing in Australia, and we're very proud to be a part of it and to bring you it. So thank you for tuning in. Like in life, we get a bit excited. The guests get a bit excited. It's a bad language can come out. It's unfortunate. We do apologize if you don't like bad language, but shit happens. Thanks to the amazing support we have from not only you, the fans, but companies here in Australia, we wouldn't be able to make this happen. So thank you. Please remember to share all the episodes that you like, because it doesn't just give us the exposure, but it gives the riders the exposure. And that's what they really need. We need to get the events out there. We need to get the riders out there so we can bring more attention to them and help them grow their career. So once again, welcome to season 5. Hope you enjoy. Strap in. It is going to be an epic year. And get after it. Cheers. Corey McMahon, how are you, my friend?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good, but it's been a while between chats. It's kind of off season, and you don't want anything to do with me anymore. I get it. But you're back, so you have to talk to me. Welcome back to racing.
Yeah. No, it's been good to get back into the season. It's an early start this year, which is pretty interesting. And we've gone to Queensland, the hottest place in Australia at the minute.
Oh, it looked hot and dry for sure.
Yeah. No, it was pretty dry, but they handled it well, and they obviously gave us some decent gaps, and obviously we didn't have dust while riding, but it just made for a long day.
Yeah, it did, and it's kind of, I suppose though, you've been training down in New South Wales where it's been quite warm. Did you find the heat kind of a bit of a shock, or were you okay with it by the time the weekend was over?
Nah, I've been pretty good. Obviously, it's been a hot summer everywhere, so been training in the heat, and having a place up here in Queensland and doing a little bit of training up here has been good. So the heat wasn't a massive shock. I was sort of expecting it, and I didn't find it that unbearable, but obviously the tracks and all that dried out because of the heat, and had a bit of a breeze out there which kept the dust away. But the heat wasn't a major problem. The bikes were obviously getting hot, leading to a few dramas there, but nothing body-wise from the heat.
Well, that's all right, mate. And before we get into the first round, how was your off-season? I know you went into the end of last year, you went in with your wing in a sling. How's that kind of training to get back on the bike going?
Yeah, obviously it doesn't make it easy when you're spending 2.5 months off a bike and doing what you know, but I started up with a new trainer this year with 547 Sports Physio up here in Queensland, and his programs have been really good. The rehabilitation and all that on the shoulder and all that has turned around very quick. So to be back on the bike in 2.5 months after a pretty major surgery, it's pretty helpful to be with him. And I found his new programs really good. So, super excited to work with him in 2024 and see what we can develop the body and see how much better we can get.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of, it is a hard thing to get the body back to where it was, but you know, by the end of the year, it really started to show that the fatigue in your body. So to get the surgery and to start off fresh, how did you feel going into this first round? Did you kind of feel confident, or were you a bit hesitant with the shoulder?
Yeah, I've obviously done everything I can to get the shoulder back to strength, and yeah, it felt completely fine coming back in. Obviously, it's not 100% yet, but no, the shoulder's okay. It's better than what it was last year, so it's a start, and I'm super, super comfortable on the new bike. I'm just making a step progress every time I'm on it, and it's just going to take a little bit more time to get my head around everything, a little bit more testing and all that stuff, which is only going to come with time. We've got a month off now between rounds, so super excited to get down to Charles and Choice at Choice and, yeah, do some testing next week and, yeah, try to work out a few more things with this bike. It's obviously a major change that they've made with the chassis, but I'm really enjoying it so far.
Right, so yeah, I guess that's where we'll lead into this weekend. So what bike are you riding this year for the AOIC?
Yeah, so I'm on an EC 250X this year for the AOIC Championship and GNCC, and then signed on the 500 for Fink and Hatter this year, which is really exciting to be on the big bike and up against the people that are the best at that sport at the minute and on the same bike, which will be really interesting.
No, look, it's been an interesting couple of years watching you on the smaller bikes. I mean, you haven't been a slouch on the 450. I mean, last year I'll always remember kind of seeing photos of you with no seat and absolutely just wringing the neck out of the 450. And you're still getting, like, very secure top 10. So to step up to the 500, you haven't ridden one as of yet, but are you kind of expecting it to be the same, especially with all the stories coming out that the bike is this absolute monster?
Yeah. Obviously, Grabo's been doing a lot of testing on it, and all I've heard is all positive feedback from it, and yeah, it's I'm really keen to get on it and get on it out there and see how much of a difference it is to compare to the 450. But yeah, no, really excited to get that underway and see how it is out there.
Beautiful. So round one, coming into it, how did you actually find the first round of the AOIC this year?
Yeah, obviously. I didn't know what to expect. We got a lot of new faces back, and every class is stacked this year. It's at least five guys that can be podium contenders every weekend in all classes. And yeah, really didn't know where I'd stand in the outright leading up. Obviously, I was battling for podiums last year in the outright scene, and that's what I wanted to do again with all these new people back. But yeah, really happy with how we progressed over the weekend.
Holy moly, yeah. You're right there. Like, I can't believe how stacked each class is. It's right, it kind of each class in the top four, top five are all podium winners anyway, so that must be a huge weight on your mind.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously having Milner back, which is a six-day world champion. It's good to see where we are at. Obviously, we're not at the pace that we should be at yet, which is cool to see and gives us all a lot of things to work towards. And, yeah, I'm sort of glad he's come over and come back and whooped our asses, to be honest.
It's always a bit humbling. I suppose, you know, we spoke last year at the 4-day and it was really cool for the West Australian guys to see where they had to step up to for the East Coast guys like yourself. So now for Milner to be back, you're now watching what you have to be and go overseas. Now you've done a few 6 days and things like that and seen the overseas racing. So to then have him mix it up on your local tracks, it must be a really cool kind of learning experience for you.
Yeah, obviously to have that sort of talent in the field and to be racing against him again. Like I had one round racing against him in my early days before he left to go to Europe, and I was a lot further back, but now it's cool to see I'm sort of within that 30-second range of him over a 13-minute test. And no, it's cool that he's still got the pace and he's still really competitive, and yeah, it's just a lot of learning for us, and we're all obviously going to have to progress to keep up with him.
No, look, but as you said before, you've managed to come a long way. Now to be 30 seconds over a 13-minute is something special for you. And as you said before, you're also settling into getting the bike back to the way you feel, getting kind of your body conditioned for it. Because I know you've done a bit of off, you know, on bike training and off bike training. So the rest of the season will really kind of condition you, and you know, hopefully we can see that 30 seconds diminish quickly.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously the goal is to be battling for outright podiums all year. It's good to know, and it's good for me to know that we're not at 100% and there's still more left in the tank, and we're still getting pretty decent results on the weekend. So no, there's a big month ahead, and there's a lot of learning to do, and this year we got a few cross countries coming up, which I'm really excited for. Obviously love the cross countries, and yeah, so there's still a lot of aspects that we can be a lot better at, and I feel like we can be in that top three outright and battle for that outright podium for the year.
No, you're right there, and you obviously the cross countries. This course for round one, how did it form up for you? Going into each AORC, do you kind of get an idea where those tracks are located, how it's going to form, or are they a bit of a mystery every time?
Well, this one was a real mystery. Normally when we're heading to Queensland, AORCs or nationals in Queensland, they're more of a faster fire trails type bush riding, and sort of normally the fast, sketchy, technical, like not so technical, but like fast and a bit hairy situations in the Queensland races. But no, the club and the landowners done an amazing job with this track. It was a mix of everything on day one. It was like technical stuff along the creek, and then we had a bit of rock grass track and all that stuff. But they've done a really, really good job with this weekend. It was sort of like day two was, I felt, pretty Euro spec, rocky, single trail, bit of creek bed stuff, which is, yeah, cool to see. They've done an awesome job. And yeah, I was going in expecting something else to what we got. So yeah, no, really, really tricked us a little bit.
Well, that's good. I mean, I guess when you're doing your walkthroughs on the track and stuff like that, it's cool to kind of get that perspective of what you're going to get up with. And then we saw some footage on social media of, yeah, you're kind of riding through creeks and up even along the creek beds. And it looked kind of fun and flowy and definitely tighter than what we'd probably used to for Queensland.
Yeah, 100%. But the track really brought the best out of your bike. And obviously I wasn't comfortable at the start of day one, and I really struggled. I just, if you weren't comfortable, it was so hard to push on as you're riding on a creek bed, on a creek bank, and if you make a mistake, you're going off into the creek. So, really, really challenging and a super crazy first round. It was, put the body on, like, in a lot of fatigue and long sprints, very physically demanding tracks, in and out of creek beds, holes. It had it all, so... No, they've done a really, really awesome job, which is good to see, and it makes the drive and all that all the way out to Roma like worthwhile. Mm. So no, it was, yeah, couldn't fault that weekend of racing. It was, yeah, really enjoyable.
And then, as we said before, you're also doing the GNCC, which is very exciting this year. You have a massive stack catalog, as you just said, you know, AORC, GNCC, Hatter, and Fink. What kind of all those are you looking forward to the most?
It's hard to put it past Fink and Hatter, but obviously I enjoy racing, and I want to try to do the Vicks this year as well, which is gonna add another one on top. But I'm really loving the new bike, so AORC is really exciting for me, and I know there's a lot for us to learn and a lot for us to progress on, and that excites me even more. So it's, yeah, there's everywhere you want to improve, and the AORC, it's really strong this year. It was the first round was ran really good and went smooth, and it's hard to put a pinpoint on each event, but yeah, no, really excited for all of them. But obviously, it's hard to put it past such the big events like Hatter and Fink.
Yeah, and so why Fink on the why Hatter on the 500?
I just think that it's that it's time to be in the big boy class. Most of the time, the winners have come from the 500, and having Milner back, I dare say he'll be on a 500 and well as well. And I think it's just easier to progress the bike from Fink to Hatter.
Changing
back to what would be a motocross bike for Hatter. And no, I'm really excited for the 500. It's more my type of riding. I like being smooth and flowy through everything, and I think the 500 will suit that sort of riding style.
Absolutely, it's a beautiful bike, and I guess we've kind of got through it, but I've got a very big bone to pick with you, because I was very lucky to go and do a VIP experience with Grabo. I managed to ride one of your test tracks, and not only did I have appreciation for you before, I also have a massive appreciation for what you guys now ride too, because the stuff you train on is absolutely horseshit, mate. It sucks eggs.
I guess you always try to make training worse than what the race is going to be, so you're expected to cover anything. Definitely the tracks we've been riding on and all that stuff, they're challenging, but it's the Saturday test on the weekend was really, really physically demanding, and it's definitely going back to the drawing board and trying to work out where we were weak and change that.
Because I mean, when you like try and explain these tracks, it's like, you know, imagine your local single tracks, but then just dig, you know, a foot, like 4 foot holes, like bleeding into a corner and leading out of the corner. These braking corners, the bumps were so big. Do you just sit on like track like that for, you know, half an hour and just bust as many laps as you can? Or do you do it once, then stop, then sprint it? Like what's kind of a training routine for you?
Yeah, so normally like a training routine in the bush is, we try to aim for that 10-minute mark sprint. So we go out, we do one warm-up lap, make sure there's nothing across the track that's going to catch us out. And sometimes we send someone else out there. So like the biggest learning we try to do as bush racers is to learn the track as fast as possible and keep your eyes up. The biggest challenge and the most time lost is in the first sprint of the day. So you really want to learn the track quick and be able to predict what's coming up early. So normally it's in the bush, we aim for that 10-minute sprint without much track knowledge. And then, we try to do about 40 minutes to an hour of sprint time. Depending on the length of the lap or... Yeah, but normally it's around, the 10-minute mark for a sprint. And, it's just go out there and bust out as many sprints as you can and try to simulate the weekends of racing.
Which is crazy because, as I said, these corners were tight. Like, it'd be corner on corner, then straight, then into, you know, massive downhill sections and bottom hairpins, and some would loop on each other. Like, it must take so long to be able to cut these tracks in. Then it's kind of funny that the worse they degrade, the better it is for you.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not gonna lie, I've got a really good rough bike, but my smooth bike is not so great at the minute. And obviously the first day is normally smooth straight up, so there's a bit of work to do there. It sounds weird that I'm going to be looking to train on a few smooth tracks coming up before the next round. But no, I mean, a rough bike is really good, and obviously that's what I thought coming from a motocross background, is you want to train on the gnarliest, roughest stuff and get your bike right on that. But I think the times have changed a little bit now in the off-road, and I think the rough bike is important, obviously, for the second day when you're on rougher tracks and the end of the first day. But the racing is that close now. You can't afford to lose time early on in the days. It's really cost-worthy. And no, I just need to work out what I can change from my rough bike or my main setting to make a bit better smoother bike, which will make us a bit faster in the morning.
Oh, mate, that sounds like a big U problem, and that sounds like a lot more riding for you. So I'm excited to see how that's going to kind of transpire, and especially for the rest of the year, see exactly how far you're going to go. And then I'm super keen to see you at Fink, even start doing some testing at Fink anyway, to see how you handle the big 500.
Yeah, no, I'm really keen to get on the big 500. It's been a lot of years coming now. It's been a 3 year ladder step progress, and we finally made it to the big ones. So it's time to make it count. Hopefully, put it on that podium.
It'd also take a fair few people to get you to where you are, man. I guess you'll have a list of sponsors you want to thank.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, there's a lot of people that helped me get to where I am. And this year, it's obviously the same thing as last year. We're running our own program, and the sponsors that have come on board, just the local businesses are really helping out. And obviously joining the crew at Max's Tires this year, and really enjoying them. And that's another change up that's new to me, and very excited for 2024 with it. And Gow Street Recycling coming back on as a major sponsor, as well as Exclusive Switchboards. So two businesses that have put a lot of money up to see me progress in my racing career, which I'm forever grateful for. And obviously, the list goes on. It's O'Neill, everyone from Cassens, Bell, Garnet, Blur Goggles, they're new as well, and they're unreal. And it's just the list goes on, and I'm super grateful to have everyone on board. And just really excited for 2024 and the people that support me. I just can't thank them enough, and would love everyone to support them, that they support our racing, and it's hard to do sometimes in Australia without their support. So I'd love people to support them as well.
Yeah, oh, look, you're right. Like, it's definitely it takes a lot to get you guys racing, especially in the amount of racing you're doing. So to have all these people come on board, and I guess everyone can just go to social media, find the list of people who follow you, who support you, but honestly, you do so much for them as well. So it's really cool to see you give back. But no, it is all cool that you have so many people love you, mate.
Yeah, no, it's very rewarding when you have people willing to help. It's obviously I don't like asking, but it's really cool to have people come on board and willingly to help and get me to the races. It's a big program for the year, and there's a lot of travel involved, and there's a lot of effort put in to do all these races. And yeah, it's not gone unnoticed without these people supporting me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be there. It's as simple as that.
No, man, awesome, brother. Well, look, thanks for your time, buddy. Look forward to talking to you throughout the year, and look after yourself.
No, I really appreciate it. Thank you.